Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
We got a weekend ahead of us.
Yeah.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I got a little bubble gut, but I'm all right.
A little bubble gut?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's how Trey Matthews, safety for Auburn, described the anxiety you feel before a big game. He called it bubble gut.
Yeah.
We used to call it nervous energy, anxiety, but he called it bubble gut.
Yeah.
I got a different type of bubble gut.
Oh, okay.
It's bubbling.
I was going to say you're anxious about something.
No,
you're nervous about the show.
I may have to run out of here. Let's just say that.
All right. I got you.
I remember you
Don't
being
worry.
In that
I've been
situation.
Trust me, I know. And if the shoe was on the other foot, I would do the same for you. I'm going to do the same for you if you need it.
So if I just sprint past you, you know what's
I'll
going
know.
On.
I'll just, and for the audience, if you hear just me for a while, you know why.
The bubble gun
number two.
Yeah, I won't even have to explain it to you. I'll just keep going, you know? Just keep going.
Number three.
It may be. It could be.
Or
sometimes.
Four. Yeah.
Well, if it's a four.
Hopefully it just takes one time, but
right.
You never know.
If it's a four, just go home. Just go home.
Just keep going.
If it's a four.
Number five.
Yeah, no. That's when then he's dead.
The show is over by then, right?
Yeah. Then
I mean,
dead.
You get to five.
Yeah. So last night there was a Thursday night football game between two usually exciting teams, and it turned into a little bit of a boring game.
What
so,
was the over-under on that bad boy?
You know, I'm not sure, but there's no way that they hit it with a 2017 final with the Falcons coming back and winning after Matt Ryan threw multiple interceptions, and we will talk about that game coming up after Bogus's update. But, you know, quite honestly, it wasn't all that interesting of a football game, and I was angry at myself as the clock was getting later and I was still locked into that garbage. But so anyway, the more interesting thing to me was what happened in Cleveland yesterday. And it's another instance of the Browns making a change with either a coach or management. And as we said at the time, when they brought in Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown and people were talking about how Sashi Brown was this rising smart man that was going to be able to help this team turn it around, and an analytical approach, and how Hugh Jackson was the right guy for the job, and this was going to be different. We sat here and said, it will not be different until we see it be different. And smart people go there, and they end up becoming dumb people. And it seems like it happened again, as Jimmy Haslam had no patience. And that's really the biggest story here, is Jimmy Haslam's inability to have any sort of patience in seeing how these things play out. Now, of course, winning one game in a couple of years is embarrassing, but you're starting to build a little bit of a defense. You've got some young talent. You've got a ton of picks. You should at least, if you have a little bit of faith in this guy, hang on for another year, see what happens. Have a little patience. But he does not. He moves on. They bring in John Dorsey, who is well-respected. He was last with the Kansas City Chiefs, and people believe that now this is the guy, the smart guy who's had success at a different place, is going to come in and change things. John Dorsey, welcome to hell, because you have gone from well-respected man to joke yesterday, And that's just the way it is with Cleveland.
I don't think you can give him that grade just yet. You have to let his feet hit the ground, and let's see what his draft picks look like. Let's see what free agent signings he has and how he reshapes this roster. So essentially what Jimmy Haslam has done here, and I'm going to give him a pass on this one, because you've had, you said 2 years, and you've won one ball game. So you've had plenty of time to see how Sossie Brown and that front office led by Sossie Brown wants to go about amassing a roster and putting together a football team that can do better than its predecessor. And it hasn't come out smelling like roses. So I'm going to give Jimmy Haslam a pass. More than almost 2 years, and this is all you have to show for your work? All this good money I'm paying you? No, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon, so I'm going to give him a pass here. Now, as far as John Dorsey, what the Cleveland Browns have now said with this move is that we tried the new way. We tried that new stuff, the new technology and the analytics and all that good stuff with Sossie Brown. And we're going to go back to old school. John Dorsey's of the old school. He led scouting departments. He's been a director of player personnel in different stops. Green Bay, you mentioned. Kansas City last. And the guy played the game. So he's old school. They're going to go back to the old school way of doing this. And now as far as Hugh Jackson and his fate, I think he's going to last. I don't think he and Sossie Brown were jiving.
No, they weren't.
Or
no.
He would have gone as well. This would have been a package deal. Both of y'all going to be shown the door.
It was a battle. Yeah.
And definitely. And so Hugh Jackson, of the old school mind, now can partner with John Dorsey, who's come out of some pretty good front offices, mainly Green Bay. And so now let's see how this works going forward. I think you're going to see a different set of circumstances as far as how they do business. And here's the last thing I'll say, G.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there and you're watching Carson Wentz, you're watching Jared Goff, two guys you could have had.
I know.
Two guys who were having a ton of success in their second year in the league, and you're watching them and you're still mired in futility over here. Someone's got to pay for that.
Yeah, I understand. It is the quarterback position that has eluded them for the longest time, and that's the biggest reason they're in the situation they're in, is nobody's been able to figure that out. But I just can't think that the Browns are finally going to make that hire that changes things, because we've seen it. It's the same old story, whether it was Mike Lombardi or Joe Banner or Sossie Brown or Hugh Jackson, and people were even excited about Mike Pettine was going to be a great head coach and had been overlooked in a defensive guy. I mean, they just bring in all these guys, and you think of Chudzinski. This is the hot coordinator. The Browns got the hot coordinator, Rob Chudzinski. All these guys go there, and they just fall apart to a pile of turds, and then it happens all over again. So, yeah, on paper, you look at this if you're John Dorsey and you're like, okay, there's going to be a couple of jobs that are open, I know for a fact, with the general manager. I know for a fact, because I'm talking to Jimmy Haslam right now, that he's going to end up firing Sossie Brown, so I can go and take that job if I want. Or I could go to the New York Giants, who just fired their general manager and Jerry Reese, and it's obviously a much better organization. And if you take Giants and Browns off of those resumes and you look and you go, oh, man. Wow, look at all these draft picks that we got. Look at this defense that's rounded into shape. Wow, and there's a coach here that's in place that's well-respected that I like. I'm going to go there. But it's the Browns. So there, no matter what it looks like, it will end in disappointment. It's just the way it is, man.
No, at some point it has to end.
It will not. It's not
going to. At some point it has to end.
Not with that owner.
And I'm going to put my money on it right now. It's going to end with John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to end. You hear me, Cleveland Browns fans? It's over. A new day is upon you.
Jeez, I really wish.
A new day is upon you right now. Okay, you have a football guy picking football players, not as Rich Gannon said a couple of CBS broadcasts ago, that you have a baseball guy picking football players.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they had Paul D. Podesta in that front office, and I think people blew that up more than it was. I think they brought him in to be a smart guy, not to make baseball decisions. And you know, I don't even know, did he get fired yesterday? Is he still there?
I think he's still there. Now,
everybody you
just mentioned, all the guys, the previous front office guys, maybe their football acumen wasn't what it needed to be. Not all of them are built the same.
They have success everywhere else.
Okay.
Mike Lombardi, everybody hires him to be an analyst because they think he's great. The Patriots brought him back. He was on Ballers. You think about all these things that Mike Lombardi's done since he's left the Browns.
I was on Ballers, guys.
I mean, think about it.
I have credibility.
I mean, like, Mike Lombardi's like been with Belichick. When he's been with Belichick, he's a genius. And, of course, when he goes to the Browns, he's not. I mean, the Browns, think about that. How about Belichick?
Well, maybe he needed Belichick. Maybe he needed someone like that. Maybe he needed someone, some of the other pieces that are existent.
Bill Belichick went there and couldn't even do it. I mean, that just shows you. Even though he did have a one playoff year, and then they moved.
They're getting back
to
playoffs next year. I'm calling my shot.
Next year?
Calling my shot.
Stop it.
Why have to stop? I'm calling my shot.
Next year?
I'm calling it. Write it down. Take a picture. Y'all can remind me next year. All right?
If we can find you.
If you can find me.
Yeah.
Remind me.
We're going to have to put one of those chips in you, like when you get a new dog.
Hoya has that chip. Yeah. Home again.
Yeah. We're going to have to do that on the last day of the show.
No.
You can find out where you are. Have a little app on the phone. Where's Brian?
Nope. None of that. I don't want to be fouled.
Yeah.
Deep undercover.
I know that everybody's saying that they love Dorsey, and I know that Dorsey's looking at this and saying all these draft picks, I just can't screw it up with all these draft picks. But also, let's not forget this. This draft, and people are starting to really delve deep into it now because there's so many teams that are mathematically eliminated from the postseason in the NFL, or they're just not good enough to believe that they're going to have some sort of run this year in the postseason. But people are looking at the draft, and there's the quarterbacks at the top that you just don't know exactly if they're coming out or not. There was some Josh Rosen news that wasn't really news, and he was tweeting about it. You don't know that. And then if you listen to some of the experts, the talent pool in this draft is like, they're not loving it right now.
No.
They're not loving it.
I can see that.
I mean, I'm seeing and hearing stuff and reading stuff like this could be the least amount of talent in a draft in the last decade.
Mm.
So now, what does it matter?
What position are we talking about?
I mean, across the board. Across the board.
I would say you probably could say that at the wide receiver position. There are two that stand out in my mind, James Washington and Calvin Ridley. Washington at Oklahoma State, Calvin Ridley at Alabama. Those guys are as good as any that have possibly come out, especially James Washington. And then you look at the running backs with Love and Barkley and Geis and Freeman and Ronald Jones, the second. You know, those guys are damn good, and I think they would probably get first-round grades. You go down from there, okay. You know, offensive line, no one is really bursting through the seams and saying, draft me, other than the big tackle at Oklahoma, Orlando Brown. And, of course, his father, the late Orlando Brown, died. You know, defensive end, Bradley Chubb. Clearly the favorite coming out, but you don't have a ton of guys on the D-line like we've had in years past. So, okay, I'm with you.
Right, well, there you go.
A little bit. There's sprinkled about in this year's draft, but you don't really have a ton of sexy picks. Even you look at the defensive backs, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, excellent, can play everywhere. And Derwin James, who just announced there at Florida State, he's going to be a first-rounder. But, okay, you win.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
You know, I think that once Jerry Reese got fired, Jimmy Haslam called him up and said, "Hey, Jerry, what's going on? How you doing?" "I'm doing okay. All right, talk to you later." Hug up the phone, and that was the Rooney Rule.
That was the Rooney Rule.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
We just had one of yous up in here.
Yeah.
Didn't go too well.
Yeah. So I don't I bet you Haslam. I could just see Haslam with his southern accent that he has. He's got a good southern accent. But we just had a black general manager. So I don't think we have to worry about the Rooney Rule for this particular hire. I think we can just go white guy just immediately and not have to worry about it. And if anybody calls, we just had a black guy. That's what I'll tell him.
Yeah. It's too soon for another.
Right.
We got three, four years? Cool.
If you think we're going back-to-back black, you got something else coming. Okay?
Ain't no Drake back-to-back going on in here, okay?
Yeah. And
ain't no Meek Mill.
Everybody's freaking out because it's the classic, how can you retain a coach and then hire a new general manager that didn't hire that coach? Like, that is, but you would think that if Dorsey's taking this job and these conversations were happening, because there's no way that they fired Sashi Brown and then Jimmy Haslam was like, okay, let's start a search. No. This was probably happening at like week 8.
Go back to, it was a few weeks ago when the Bengals were playing the Browns pregame, and I'm watching NFL Today on CBS, and they're showing Hugh Jackson there in Cincinnati talking to A.J. McCarron, court the botch trade between those two teams.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Haslam was on the field as well.
Mm.
And they were shucking it up, man. Like, dude, we love you. Sorry it didn't go down and all this. No, Sashi Brown nowhere to be seen in that scene right there. And it was just amazing. I'm watching this, and Haslam and Hugh Jackson look like they were the best of buds, and they're talking to this guy that could have been a Cleveland Browns player.
Hmm.
It was different. I'm not used to seeing that where the owner and the head coach are talking to opposing player as if that's their best bud.
Yeah.
And so maybe those two, just from watching that camera shot, maybe those they're jiving, and they collectively pushed Sashi Brown out because he and Hugh Jackson were not getting along.
Well, it sounds like it. And Dorsey would have to sign off on Hugh Jackson remaining there is what it sounds like in taking this job. But if I was Hugh Jackson, I mean, I wouldn't stick around there. If they ended up firing Marvin Lewis, I would go right back to Cincinnati and try to be the head coach there. Just get the hell out, man. Get out. Like he was in, and it was two jobs you probably couldn't turn down in the Raiders and the Browns. But he went to two places that could not have been worse run at the time.
Yeah,
because you had the Al Davis death in the year that Hugh Jackson was the coach in Oakland, and there was a transition period. No one knew what the hell was going on, and no one was stepping up to take the bull by the horns, whatever you want to say. And then also, you know, with the Browns, we know all their ineptitude. Just get out. Like, you're a better coach than this. Like, you won the battle with Sashi Brown. Just leave. And it'd probably be better for the Browns, too, because, I mean, Dorsey's probably thinking this is a great spot for me to be able to shine. I got all these picks, but I mean, does he really love Hugh Jackson? I mean, he's not his
Jimmy
guy.
Jimmy Haslam, Doug, I keep one around, okay? Can't get rid of both at the same time, all right?
That's another
thing. I'm trying to throw him off the scent.
Yeah, all right? I mean, in all kidding
aside.
We
love one, we can't stand the other.
Right, if you think about it, I mean, Jimmy Haslam would have, like, a decent point. Like, all right, listen, I hired a black coach and a black general manager.
What else you want me to do?
Like, can
I come on.
Can you give me a Rooney Rule pass this time around?
I kept one, all right?
Yeah, seriously.
They both stink, but I killed one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we'll see. So you think it's over, and I think it's going to continue with the Browns.
It's over. A new day in Cleveland.
No, it'll continue.
I'm calling it right now.
Yeah,
you watch.
Dorsey right now is just feeling different. He's like, oh, man, my back hurts. I got a headache.
As soon as he walked into the facility.
Throat's a little scratchy. I don't know what's going on. Anybody know where I parked my car? Oh, my goodness.
He's in the Twilight Zone.
Hey, John, what's your phone number? It's... Oh, my God. I don't know. He's just slowly deteriorating mentally as he becomes the Browns general manager.
It is over. Name it and claim it.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Are the Browns going to continue to be the biggest joke in sports, or will this next regime with John Dorsey turn it around? 855-212-4227. We'll come right back. But first, listen to Brian.
That's right. Brian Jones here, and here's the deal. Relief Factor is not just for former or present athletes. Not at all. I wonder if it's for bubble gut. Probably not. It's for anyone struggling with pain. Yes, athletes, but also, yes, for anyone with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, foot pain, hand pain, or general muscle aches and pain. You can be 30 or you can be 95. If you're in pain, I suggest you give Relief Factor a try. I can't guarantee it'll work, but here's a tip. Almost 80% of the people who ordered a 3-week quick start for only $19.95 go on to order it again. That's under $1 a day to see if it can work for you like it did and does for me. And it's 100% drug-free, honestly. If lowering or eliminating your pain for $19.95 sounds like too much money, then you must not be in too much pain. Order the 3-week quick start for $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com. Go to ReliefFactor.com to order now. That's ReliefFactor.com or call them 800-500-8384.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
I am the standard when it comes to
Oh, you pain. Are the standard.
There's no doubt about
it.
I am. I told you that first year, you didn't believe me.
You're the standard.
I've always won the picks.
You didn't win that first year.
I know, and that was just an aberration.
Oh, that's what it was.
I was on the wrong side of variance that year. But this year and the year, well, last year and this year, I mean, it's been rocking chair for me. Rocking chair.
He's in the rocking chair.
And then you, who said, well, put your money where your mouth is last week.
Well, you boasted poking your chest out. Put some money down on it.
Yeah, I don't know why I was scared to do that. I know why I was scared, because that's the way it always works out.
Exactly.
Where there I am, I'm rolling, I'm rolling. And then the one week, I'm like, okay, Brian, let's put some money on this. And then I'd be a mess. But, of course, I didn't, and I would have won. So, well, actually, no. My decision to not bet you on that actually won games for teams, because that's how much power my picks have. See, I would have lost to you in the picks if I had put money on it. So, listen to me.
That's just the joy of winning, Greg.
Yes.
See, that voice, he would put money on it.
He puts money on a lot of stuff. No one gambles quite like Charles Barkley.
That's what you said.
I know one or two people.
Yeah. Hey, Bogish.
Hey. Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. You feeling better?
A little bit, yeah.
You sick?
Just a little bit of a cold yesterday, a little post-nasal drip.
Bogish gets sick a lot.
Gross.
This is Bogish's sick season here.
It is. But, I mean, not like stay home from work sick, but like annoying sick.
And this is because of your children, right? They get you sick?
I feel like it's their fault. Yeah. I don't know if it actually scientifically is, but I'm going to blame them.
Yeah, because you, out of all of us, are sick the most, and you're the only one that has children that live in your house.
Yeah, again, I'm not going to go with sick, just not at peak
performance level?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well,
let's go with that.
Very good. What do you got for us?
I got a pair of Drew Brees touchdown passes helping the Saints take a 17-10 lead into the fourth quarter in Atlanta last night, but New Orleans needed a third to win the game.
Tight end, two receivers right, one receiver to the left. Ingram in the backfield with Brees. Snap to him. Brees shoots it. End zone intercepted! Oh, my goodness! Deion Jones!
With a leaping pick in the end zone to seal a 2017 Falcon win. Wes Durham called it on Falcons radio, and Brees immediately regretted it.
I shouldn't have thrown it. Guy made a nice play, but not worth taking the risk right there, especially when you know you got points. You know, it's not like you have to have a touchdown.
A field goal would have tied the game. The Saints now lead the Falcons by just one game, with Carolina in between in the NFC South. Not only did the Saints lose last night, but stud rookie running back Alvin Kamara suffered a concussion on the first series of the night, and three defensive starters were lost to injury as well. All in one day, the Browns fired executive VP Sashi Brown and hired John Dorsey as GM. The Chiefs won 43 games from 2013 through 16 with Dorsey running their front office. In Cleveland, he inherits six extra picks in April's draft. Oklahoma QB Baker Mayfield won the AP Player of the Year, the Maxwell Trophy, and the Davey O'Brien Awards, the nation's top QB last night. Alabama's Minka Fitzpatrick named the best overall defender and top defensive back. And Hook'em, the Ray Guy Award for best punter, went to Texas's Michael Dixon.
That's my dog. That's my new dog.
Yeah. That's
Michael
all
Dixon.
We got.
He was the only consistent player all season.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Punter. Way to
we
go,
can't
punter.
Run or throw or play defense. He, and
Deshaun
Elliott.
Deshaun Elliott, I think he tied for the lead in interceptions in that secondary. But good job, Dixon.
I'm going to miss the predictions of Texas football and how excited you get at the beginning of the year and then watching it fall apart in September next year. That's always my favorite part of the year.
Watching me crumble.
I think we're going to get 9 of 10.
Yeah.
I think we get 9 of 10.
Yeah.
They couldn't tackle anybody.
Hook him, by God.
He's wearing the punter's jersey in December.
340 yards rushing you give up in the first half? I never seen something like that before.
But boy can punt.
Hey, punters are people too.
The Sixers finally unloaded Jahlil Okafor yesterday, sending him, guard Nick Stauskas, and a future second-round pick to the Nets for veteran forward Trevor Booker. Then those Sixers lost to the Lakers.
Ingram to Lonzo. Drives to the basket. Back to Ingram. Three-pointer for the win. It's good! It's good! Brandon Ingram buries it. 0.8 on the clock.
John Ireland, Lakers Radio LA, a 107-104 win in Philly. The Rockets, a 112-101 win in Utah. That's 8 straight, 14 wins in 15 outings for Houston. James Harden, 29 points. The Nets beat the Thunder, 195 in Mexico City. And the Wizards, a 109-99 win over the Suns in Phoenix. The Seattle Mariners acquiring D. Gordon from the Marlins for three prospects. Gordon will move from second base to center field. Seattle also getting more international pool money, presumably to go to Shohei Ohtani. College Hoops, number 21, Purdue smacked Valpo 80-50 in the NHL. That is, the Sharks got by the Hurricanes 5-4 in overtime. St. Louis blanked Dallas 3-0, and the Penguins a 4-3 OT win over the Islanders. Boys?
All right, Bogish, thanks. So a lot of interceptions last night. Matt Ryan threw three of them, and two were just disgusting passes that he was trying to force into Julio Jones, one in the end zone. And Chris Collinsworth, who, you know, people get on Collinsworth for hating on their team because that's what everybody does, because they're not used to a national broadcaster maybe being critical of their home team. But, you know, he really does a nice job in telling the truth. I mean, I think that he's one of the – he is right now, in my opinion, the best color commentator. Maybe Tony Romo takes that mantle at some point, but to me it's Chris Collinsworth. And he was crushing Matt Ryan's throws. I mean, just absolutely terrible. And he said it's bizarre what's happened to Matt Ryan – this year, after having that MVP season, that, you know, he makes throws like that. There's been a couple of dropped interceptions. He said going into the game, it was funny, he had 10 interceptions. Two were his fault. He went back and looked at all of them, and then two last night were distinctly his fault on Thursday Night Football. And also the other big story that comes out of it is the Falcons come back, and that sort of changes the outlook of the NFC for the moment, was the injuries. And I Alvin Kamara has been so dynamic for them that when he went out, I thought at that point the Saints were going to be done because of everything he's done for them offensively. And it didn't necessarily work out like that because it was a close game and that pick in the end zone. And they could have tied the game with the field goal. But when he went out with that concussion and several other injuries happened, hey, that really was it for the New Orleans Saints.
Well, Alvin Kamara, the second play of the game. The first play, it was a power running game with Mark Ingram, and he picks up about 8 or 9 yards. And then Kamara, the next play, he's got about 16, 17 yards himself. And then Deion Jones, who had a well of a game, has been playing great as a rookie last year out of LSU, and again this year, clocks him squarely in the head, and he's out of that ball game. And you know, you talk about the picks. Amazingly, for Matt Ryan, he's done this a couple times, three picks in the ball game, and Atlanta somehow finds a way to win the ball game. So the defense picks him up, or he'll right himself late in the ball game, as he did in this one, hitting Mohamed Sanu, and then they get the field goal. But you know, going back to the late interception by Drew Brees, and as he said, should not have thrown that ball. It looked like, I didn't see the all 22, but it looked like they were playing a cover two, and you saw Deion Jones drop straight back, and so many linebackers, they don't play that particular coverage correctly, especially when you get down there in the goal line. And he did it spot on how you're coached to do it. Just went straight back, was right in the throwing lane, and made the catch. But the ball should not have been thrown. You saw about three or four Falcons in the picture there and one Saints player. So a lot of mistakes on both sides of the ball. And unfortunately for the Saints, who still are a game up on the Falcons, and they'll see them here in a couple weeks, about 17 days. You know, they didn't get the victory in this. But I love those uniforms the Saints were wearing. Oh,
yeah,
man, those are great.
The red pants for the Falcons I didn't love, but those Saints uniforms are great.
They don't drive with the helmet, but, you know, who cares?
You know, I really think, though, that after watching this game and watching the Vikings go in and beat the Falcons and seeing the Eagles lose, I mean, it really does bolster the Vikings' position in this conference. And it's getting scary now. How good of a spot that they are in. It really is, but that's a story for another day. And I still think Atlanta,
you're funny when you talk about the Vikings, because I can just sense you're sitting there, it's scary. You're just waiting for something to happen. You're waiting for something bad to happen. You're waiting for them to morph into the Cleveland Browns.
Well, there's real reasons for that other than their history, though. I mean, there are. Well, one, because there's great teams in the NFC. They're playing in the best conference.
Yeah.
And they've got a quarterback that has been playing amazingly well, but the odds of him continuing that still, to me, are very large. I don't think that they are – I don't think that's a likely scenario. It just doesn't happen this way. I mean, when was the last time that a guy like that who'd been in multiple stops somewhere went on some sort of crazy run – like this and got to a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl? I mean, these journeyman quarterbacks, like, it doesn't happen like this anymore.
So I'm thinking of Jake Delhomme, but Jake was with us in New Orleans. Then he goes to Carolina, and so I don't think there was a stop in between.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that was a Super Bowl loss. I mean, Rex Grossman was a guy who was bad, got to a Super Bowl. But, I mean, it's been a long – the guys who win Super Bowls are the best of the best. I mean, the worst one since Brad Johnson in 2002 has been Joe Flacco. Uh-huh. And that season he was could have been the best quarterback in football.
I got you. But let's juxtapose the Vikings schedule with, say, the Eagles schedule, because we were talking about how they really hadn't beaten any of the top-tier teams. The Vikings have. You beat the Rams. You beat the Saints.
You beat the Falcons.
You beat the Falcons.
You got the Panthers this week. You could maybe beat them.
Yeah, maybe you can beat the Panthers, but you beat the Falcons in their home, in their backyard. And the other two, the Rams and the Saints. Of course, you caught the Saints early for that defense that really solidified itself, but you beat them there on your home turf. So you've gotten some of the better teams. You beat the Ravens, a team that's looking exceptionally well right now, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that one not as impressive to me. But you know what's going to happen, right, is Aaron Rodgers is going to get healthy. They're somehow going to squeak into the playoffs, right? Yep. So they're 6-6 now. They've got the Browns.
You beat the Packers. You knocked Aaron Rodgers out of the game.
Yeah, but so I've been talking about Teddy Bridgewater coming back and the Vikings having a home Super Bowl game, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what really will happen is you've got Brett Hundley's last start, presumably right now, with the Packers because Aaron Rodgers is ready to return in Week 15,
right,
they say. So they play the Browns. They're 6-6 right now. So they'll get to 7-6. Rodgers will come back. They'll win the rest of their games, including beating the Minnesota Vikings because they've got one more game with them.
Yep.
So that'll happen. They'll squeak into the sixth seed. The Vikings will catch them the Vikings are at the one seed. They'll catch them in the divisional round, and then they'll lose to the Packers. And it'll be the worst possible scenario you could have imaginable. Like, that's how the Viking story goes. And you think that this is your season because you knocked Aaron Rodgers out, and then he'll come back with the cape on, and then
they're going to knock him out again. Yeah, don't come back, Aaron Rodgers. Don't think about it.
Man, I don't know.
Or you can think about it, just don't do it.
Yeah. The Falcons, man, I tell you, I really still do think that, you know, they should be a favorite in this conference. And it's funny because they played good defense against the Vikings for the most part. That was a low-scoring game. They played decent defense last night, even with the Kamara injury. You got to factor that in. But it seems like they continually have these great individual performances defensively, but never can consistently put it together. Like, whether it's Vic Beasley or Desmond Trufant, or last night when it's Deion Jones, and you think about Adrian Claiborne's game against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, they have these unbelievable individual performances, and you're like, man, this defense, watch out. But then collectively, they're never consistent enough to make you really believe. And last year was in spurts, too, and of course, we saw what happened to them in the second half of the Super Bowl. So if they can ever get all those guys together, and then Matt Ryan's not throwing passes like he was last night, they still, to me, are the best team in the conference.
Right. Coming off the loss to the Vikings, they win versus a division foe, the Saints, last night. Now they've got, you know, about 10 days off, and they have a Monday night game versus the Buccaneers. You would expect them to win that game the road.
Yeah.
Then they go back on the road to New Orleans. That's going to be a tough affair. And then they close out the season at home with the Falcons.
They play themselves.
I'm sorry, with the, yeah.
See, who's he? That's a tough spot for them.
I mean, who are you going to choose? With the Panthers, excuse me. They have the Panthers.
These schedule makers, man, every year they drop the ball.
How are you going to pit us against ourselves, dog? Come on.
Last game of the season, we're tired.
Right, Mike says it's a pick 'em game. Exactly. Who you got, dude? I'm taking the Falcons. You can't take the Falcons. I'll take the Falcons.
That's a pick you can actually win.
So you look at it. My point is, these next three ball games, I could see them possibly going 1-2 in them.
They're running the table.
You think they run the table?
They're running the
table. No, they won't win at New Orleans. Definitely won't win there.
Well, we'll see how serious some of these injuries were. I mean, Kamara, you expect with a concussion. It's funny, you know, concussions in the NFL, guys come back quicker. You get a concussion in the NHL, sometimes those guys are out weeks and weeks and weeks and miss a long time. It's different how
they
that
don't have as much padding.
I suppose.
But then again, you look at the rate of speed that these guys are colliding with another player, and the body types that are colliding. So I guess that would mitigate or that would right there is a huge distinction from what occurs in hockey. Not to say they're not flying around at a high rate of speed, they are, but a lot more mass that's colliding at the NFL level.
Coming up next,
Falcons versus the Falcons.
Yeah, that too. A pronunciation mind blower. Trust me, we're coming right back.
Give us a call right now, 855-212-4CBS.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
For many years now, since Bill Belichick has been a guy that we talk about seemingly every week during the NFL season, we always say his name the same way. Everybody does. Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Do you say it any differently than that?
Belichick.
No, you don't, is the answer.
So Belichick.
No, it's Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Everybody says Bill Belichick. So CBS Sports Network does a Bill Belichick legacy video.
Mm-hmm.
And they put together things about his life, and they interviewed him for this, and it was a very interesting piece on a man who is very private, and you don't know a lot about him outside of his weird podium stuff. And he was talking about his father, and the way he pronounces his last name is a mind blower. You ready? Let's hear it.
Ready.
My dad's name was Stephen Nicholas Belichick.
Belichick. Belichick.
Belichick.
Belichick.
We can't go with that now.
Why not? Because Belichick. Bill Belichick.
No. I can't do this.
Belichick.
No.
Bill Belichick.
No.
It's easy.
No.
Rolls right out of the tongue. Bill Belichick. Coach Belichick.
You can't now at this point change it to Belichick.
I mean, Belichick.
This is what's freaking me out about it, right? So is he, well, first off, here's the question I'll ask. Is he just saying that because that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced
right.
wherever his family
right.
is
somewhere
from?
Somewhere in Eastern Europe, yeah.
Or is that the way he always pronounces it? Because, for example, I've said this before, the way you're supposed to pronounce my last name, like if I go to Italy, it's Giannotte. That's
okay.
how you would say it.
Right.
Like they'd look at the name and go, oh, hello, Giannotte.
What's up, Giannotte?
No, Giannotte.
Giannotte.
Giannotte, yeah.
What's up, Giannotte?
But you come over here, it's Giannotti. You end up Americanizing
right.
it.
Right, that's what happened with Bill Belichick. Belichick.
Belichick.
Yeah, that's how it should be pronounced. But, of course, we Americanize everything.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have to stick with Belichick.
Okay. All right, good.
He's screwed.
Good.
No Belichick here.
Because I wasn't going to do that.
No.
I wasn't going to cave into
it's
that
been
pressure.
It's Bill Belichick. Mama, you Belichick. We're going to call you Belichick.
That's right. It's just too, right. It's too much. I'm too used to it now.
Right.
I was going to say, does he call people when he's trying to make trades and stuff? Hey, it's Bill Belichick.
Belichick.
Yeah. They probably, who?
Wait, he does do that
they
now?
They probably hang up.
Yeah, you can't.
But who?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he should have started this crusade of having his name pronounced correctly.
This crusade.
He should have started this way back when he was an assistant coach, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like these guys, was it, it's Matthew Trubisky? Is that what he did?
Mitchell.
I mean, Mitchell.
Yeah.
He went
Matthew
from Mitch.
Matthew would have been a way bigger departure.
I know it was an M word. I've imagined him up with Matthew Stafford. He went from Mitch to Mitchell.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that's
we've had
whatever.
Others who have corrected the pronunciation of their name after we call them something for 2 or 3 years of their collegiate career.
Well, the dumbest one was the Mike Stanton to Giancarlo Stanton. And I still don't know the right pronunciation of that. Because,
Giancarlo.
Yeah, but everybody says Giancarlo.
Giancarlo.
I think it's Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
That's what I would prefer to say. But there's a lot of people who say Giancarlo.
Well, they're wrong.
Yeah. I don't think he'd have as much success if he was Bill Belichick. I don't think you can be as good as a Belichick, you know?
Well, a Belichick made this Belichick, and look how he's turned out.
But, I mean, imagine stuff like this freaks me out.
Belichick.
Imagine all these conversations, like, that damn Belichick. Like, you know, he's always cheating that Belichick. I mean, no, that's not supposed to happen. This
There's
is like the alternate universe that we're not supposed to be in.
Belichick.
Oh, the greatest of all time. Definitely Brady and Belichick.
Well, when he loses a Super Bowl, he's Belichick. When he wins, he's Belichick.
I can't take it, man.
Belichick.
No, stop.
Yeah.
Belichick.
Belichick, like Sean Payton. He's Payton.
Oh, he is
yeah,
now.
Payton.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe when he was raiding that. painkiller closet. That's what he was.
Hey, man, just try Relief Factor, all right? 100% drug-free.
So some more serious news. And, you know, I don't want to speculate on this stuff because it's very serious what's going on with Ryan Shazier. But, so I'll just say a couple of facts and some of the things I'm thinking, but I don't know. So yesterday, there's a huge departure from what we had heard about Shazier. We had heard that it was a spinal contusion. We had heard that he was going back to Pittsburgh and getting a UPMC facility because, you know, there's some of the best in the country and in the world, and that no surgery was going to be needed. That was some of the reports that we had heard initially, and that it was going to see if the swelling went down and then things would be okay. This is the stuff that we were hearing. And then all of a sudden you saw reports of an update coming on Shazier. So many people, and I still follow a ton of people from Pittsburgh on Twitter, many people were making the assumption from the way that it was trending, from the little news that was out there, that this update was going to be a good update. He was back in Pittsburgh. You hadn't heard anything bad in a couple of days. But you still never heard officially if he had feeling in his legs or he could move his legs. You still never heard that officially from the team or any doctors. So then the update comes, and it's that he has indeed had surgery on his spinal cord. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. You know, the two doctors who performed the surgery, they mentioned that in the release, and the fact that he had the surgery and, you know, what it was. Well, that was all that was in there. So then, of course, wild speculation happens, and the Steelers aren't saying anymore. Those doctors aren't saying anymore. Then you have other doctors that are neurologists and people who deal with these things coming out and chiming in with their opinions. Some were more positive, some weren't. Then you had NFL insiders, some with bad prognostications and others with good ones. So I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows where it's going. But the thing that was really making me sick yesterday was he may not play football again. We don't. His season's definitely over. We don't know. Screw that stuff for the time being. Seriously, enough. I know we're so football obsessed that we can't get over it, and that's how we know Ryan Shazier. There's a much more serious thing going on here right now, in my opinion, than whether or not you're going to see him in 2018 or if he can recover in time for the Super Bowl. Please, save it. There's sometimes you got to drop that stuff. This is one of those times.
Right, and I recall the immediate reports being that immediate surgery wasn't needed. And I didn't think he was out of the woods as far as having to have an operation, but it just wasn't imminent. And so what you usually do with these spinal injuries, as we've seen in the past, yes, you have to allow the swelling to go down, and then you can get in and assess what's really going on. And so just watching him, I agree with you. One, I'm not worried about his football career at this point, but just watching him when the incident occurred, football was the first thing from my mind. I wanted to know if he could walk again. And lying there, not being able to move your legs, upper extremities, yes. He was able to move them. But the lower extremities, nothing of that sort. So my concern was whether or not the young man's going to be able to walk again, because football was out of the equation at that time, and I think it's still out of the equation. The main thing now, the main focus should be him getting healthy and being able to use his legs again.
And it really does scare me, and this is where I'm not going to go crazy with this and speculate, but I do think that the fact that we have not heard that's what most people that are paying attention to this want to know. That's the one thing that they want to know. Can he walk?
Yeah.
Does he have feeling in his legs? So we can relax. So we can take a deep breath and say, okay, he's not going to be paralyzed. That information has not been out there yet. Not once have they said that. And you would think if he could, right, that they'd say that. So that's what's really scary to me about this whole deal. So I don't know where it goes, but I know that for a fact he's in unbelievable care. I mean, you cannot get better care than what he's getting currently. I mean, that Joseph Maroon, one of the doctors that was a part of that surgery, I mean, he is world-renowned and someone who is so well-respected. So I know that much, but it is, I mean, it's as scary a thing as you could possibly watch in that game. And, you know, you have more injuries last night in Thursday Night Football. We went through the rest of that Steelers-Bengals game. You know, and that the rest of that game seemed worse. I really think it was a perception thing. You know, it seemed worse after we saw what happened to Shazier. I mean, those other hits, and I know there was another carting off of Perfect, but he ended up being okay.
Right.
But those other hits just felt more violent because you were more vulnerable as a viewer after watching Shazier go through what he went through.
Well, yeah, you see the Deion Jones on Alvin Kamara, and that's a violent hit, and that's something that goes on play after play in the NFL. But the difference is it was in the technique. And Deion Jones comes in, his head is up. And yes, there's helmet-to-helmet contact. Head is up, and he drives on through Kamara and puts a well of a lick on him. And you go back to the technique in the Ryan Shazier hit, and it was just poor technique.
Yes.
And that happens from time to time, and you just hope that you're lucky. I can recall a hit, and it just reverberated throughout my body, and I just got lucky. I had a sore neck. That was it. But sometimes you stumble into plays like that where you're not using the proper fundamentals.
Coming up next, Jeremy Pruitt, more well-liked at Alabama than Lane Kiffin. We'll explain why next on Geno and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.